Okay.
10 to the 7.
Ken, you're next.
Yeah, as I said, there was a motion that programmers and the program director will be evaluated, part of their evaluation, amongst other things, of how much they get done with social networking. It's already a specific policy. In regards to this, I think I still feel there's a confusion, and you can't say, well, everybody knows, or we're not trying to do this. The more you talk about it, the more problematic it gets, because it's not in writing. So then it's open to interpretation. And what happens is very vague. And if we have problems of competence in our staff and our management, we certainly have similar problems of competence in our governance, because people are just elected. This is just an elected body. It's not, you know, we're not held to any standards or anything, just what the public wants. So we're here for setting policies, not managing the staff. And I, you know, of course, it's annoying that there's incompetence in management or staff. And we have to write policies and do that. The only staff managed at the national level is the ED and the CFO, I believe. And then at the local level, it's the GM and the program director. That's the way the bylaws are. I don't think there's a problem with that. Get a new general manager. We've flipped through them a couple of times. Get a new ED. Get a new CFO. We're doing okay in the governance, but I don't want to micromanage or evaluate or give the governance the right or ability to evaluate program directors or programmers. Just the only people can properly evaluate is the GM, the CFO, and I don't think we should vary from that. That's all.
Madam Chair, would you want to extend time on this segment? It's...
Yes. Okay. Is there any objection to extending for 10 minutes?
This is Grace. I object to that. Can we just make it 5 minutes?
Okay, 5 minutes. I have a change to suggest. Instead of all managers and programmers will be evaluated by, I have programmers who will be evaluated by program directors, who will be evaluated by GMs, who will be evaluated by the ED. Does that make sense? And then we could say the progress of this will be recorded in quarterly reports.
Can you just repeat that?
After be it resolved that it will be the policy of the foundation that all analog radio shows, after that paragraph, I guess change it to say programmers will be evaluated by program directors, who will be evaluated by GMs, who will be evaluated by the IED. And we can say progress of this will be reported. Why don't we just say quarterly progress reports?
Catherine, you said IED. I take it you mean ED.
Yeah, I mean ED. Quarterly progress reports will be submitted by, instead of program directors, by the ED. Does that make sense to you, Jim? Starting in December of 2019.
We have to get the reports from the program directors, because all the time there's been justifiable criticism of these kind of resolutions as to how they're going to be monitored, how they're going to be implemented. And I think that, you know, obviously, you know, the ED is going to evaluate the program director, but at the same time, we have to be able to feed back and say, okay, how are you guys doing? And we have to get criticism from them about what we're arguing about, obviously. But anyway, that's my point. Whatever we can do to get it going is the key thing.
Okay, so then I have submitted to the PNB, submitted Okay, so the ED is making the report, so he doesn't have to submit it. Submit it to the PMB, I suggest, and local station board, and PMB programming committee. Does that make sense?
Fine.
Does that cover everybody's concern?
This is Grace for the SAC.
Yes, Grace.
In the program evaluation motion from June 2017, there's an item on it that says that part of the points that every program would be will be evaluated on is a social media presence. I think that this may be kind of redundant to that. Social media presence can be very effective, or it can be just not effective at all. So, for instance, I have seen friends who have a Facebook page. They haven't posted to it for 4 years. They have two friends. A page of that nature doesn't promote anything. It has too little visibility in the real world. So you could have every programmer have a Facebook page or a Twitter page, whatever, and it really wouldn't be doing anything necessarily. The other thing is, some more aggressive programmers are pushing people to their own websites, where they have a big fat donate button on the website, and it's siphoning money off in fund drives from the stations to individuals who have those websites up and are so the same thing can be done with Facebook. So it's a double-edged sword with this. I think that this may be just too premature. Yes, I agree that there should be social media, but just having the programmers themselves do it may not have any effectiveness. Social media is something difficult to do. It's not just putting up a few Facebook pages. So what is how? I don't understand the studies, Jim. Maybe you can give a little summary of why this would be effective. I'm not convinced that this will be effective any more than implementation. We're having trouble implementing that evaluation resolution that passed the PNB over a year ago.
Okay, Madam Chair, we're about three minutes over.
Okay, so we only had 5 minutes. So we're going to have to extend time if we're going to continue with this motion. Is there any objection to extending time for 10 minutes? Hearing none. Jim, would you like to answer the question?
All right. Well, for example, when you have, I'm not talking about an inactive use of Facebook. I'm not talking about somebody who has to get a Facebook page and then they just sit on it. There is good practices to be taught. This is where, you know, these motions, unfortunately, we haven't been able to talk about training. I know that there are people in Washington, D.C., for example, who in the past have volunteered to come and help with Pacifica radio stations to train them how to use Facebook properly. And usually with Facebook, you have to post once a week. And if you're using Facebook Live, in other words, you're using the visual part of social media, that generally increases people watching it by several times. So if somebody's doing a radio show and they're using Facebook Live to show the show in action, as in addition to the audio part of it, and they are taking questions from people posting and reading them into the, including them into the process, that, in fact, enhances the audience listening to a radio show. That has been proven. I can send you the studies, et cetera, that prove what I'm saying. So I'm not talking about just simply, okay, they get a Twitter account, great. I'm not talking to get a Facebook page, great. I'm talking about bringing in people into the stations. We could do it here in New York. And training the staff about how they can use Facebook in a way to increase audience and do it effectively. And be creative about it. And, you know, the sooner we do this, frankly, I think it will help. I'm not saying it's the sole solution, but it will help increase audience to radio shows, even if they need to be reinforced in other ways, too. It's just one part of the process to do that. And so that's what I'm talking about. Twitter the same way. Look at what happens with Alejandra Cortez, with Ocasio-Cortez, when she does her little Instagram things. You know, she gets an amazing audience. And Instagram, you know, again, you need somebody who knows how to use it, but it can effectively enhance and bring people to listening to a radio show. It makes a radio show a multimedia show. Okay, that's the kind of thing I'm talking about. And, you know, it doesn't it start to do it now.
Tell the dog it has to go to the stack. The dog needs to go to the stack.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, yeah. The dog has...
Who doesn't know how to use the mute button? Who doesn't know what mute means?
Again, get another bag of dog food. I don't think we got enough...
Okay. So, I don't know that there are any other changes. I have a suggestion. But I don't know if you wanted to accept any more changes, Jim.
Well, the problem I have is that this is actually very important for the whole foundation to push on. I mean, Grace says it was passed 2 years ago. Fine. This is just another resolution to further deepen that motion, which I might add, we still haven't seen implemented powerfully. That's what we were talking about one or two meetings ago. So this is the whole purpose of this, to start to get these kind of things in motion and sort of have reporting functions going on as to what's going on. That's all.
Okay, so all right. Let's just vote on it, okay? We'll put it up or down as it stands. Do you want me to read it?
Yes, Kevin, please read it.
Okay. It's hybridization, social media integration. Whereas all the Pacifica stations have varying levels of integration into existing social media platforms. And whereas the goal is to have each show integrate social media into its on-air delivery and process of communication with its audience, in order to build the show's individual footprint, and whereas all shows will need to have dedicated producers or interns who are assigned to the task of integrating digital media into the analog shows, I'm not sure what it says here, but it provides a means to have an ongoing broadcast presence beyond simply the allocation of time on a weekly analog schedule. Okay, so I'm going to take out but. It provides. Be it resolved that it will be the policy of the foundation that all analog radio shows that currently are on the air and future ones going forward be required by September 2019 to demonstrate the integration into their own air broadcasts of either Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Google Live, blogs, or any combination of social media that allows them to enhance their interaction with the listening audience. Programmers will be evaluated by the program director, who will be evaluated by the GMs, who will be evaluated by the ED. Or, I'm not sure if that makes sense, but quarterly reports will be submitted by the ED starting in December 2019, submitted to the PNB Local Station Board and PNB Programming Committee. The implementation of this will start immediately and will be updated in September 2019 as to its progress, and then quarterly from that date on. Okay? All right. So we will just take a vote on it and see how it falls. All right. And this is called, again... Sorry, hybridization. Okay. Grace.
Pass.
Ken.
Regretfully, no.
No. Benito.
Pass.
Okay. Jim.
Yes.
Anisha.
Yes.
Steve.
Yes.
Eric.
Catherine, I'm going to pass, if I may. If I can go either last or next to last, that would be helpful in my case.
Okay. Tom. Tom Voorhees.
Yes. I'm going to pass, too.
Okay. So I'll go back. I'm going to vote yes. And then we'll go back through the passes. Grace, you passed.
Abstain.
Okay. Benito, you passed.
I'm going to say no.
No. Okay. Eric, you're the final vote.
I'm sorry, what's the count so far, Catherine? I'm sorry.
Oh, no, you're not the final vote, but let's see. Tom
one yes.
Dude, there's,
Tom
there's
Boyd, you passed?
There's a single yes vote, is that correct?
There's two, I think, on the record.
There one, two, three, four yeses so far.
Oh, well.
Okay.
I'm one abstention and two noes.
Okay, I'm going to abstain as well.
Okay. Tom Voorhees?
Yes.
Okay. All right, so is one, two, three, four, five yeses, it looks like. One, two noes, and one, two abstentions. So the motion carries as amended. Okay. So we're down to just a little over half an hour, it seems. And the next motion on our list is podcasting policy. And I would just ditto the speech I made about fundraising for the last motion. But, Jim, would you like to present the podcasting policy motion?
Okay. Whereas the Pacifica Foundation has been many years behind the sudden development of podcasting as a new form of audio production, And whereas Pacifica has hidden strength in entering this field, and all efforts will be made to create, develop creative and innovative ways to rebrand the network through this form of audio delivery. Be it resolved that the foundation will implement a policy of developing podcasting as a separate form of content delivery as a policy for all the stations in the network. This will be developed and begin to be implemented, okay, we could say, December 2019? How's that? Or September? September 2019. The policy of podcasting will apply to all current shows that are currently on the analog. It will be required as part of each individual show as they go forward, as well as current future shows that are broadcast on analog. All shows will be evaluated as to their compliance with this policy. A separate and independent podcasting channel will be developed for new content only that will be separate and distinct from the current analog schedule. It will be developed as new content and given robust support. At every single local station, alliances will be made with ongoing podcast companies in efforts to use this form for audio delivery. All stations and their management will be required to report on a quarterly basis as to their progress in implementing this policy. It will be considered as part of the management evaluation of all managerial staff as to their implementation of podcasting policy. All reports as to progress shall be open and transparent for the listening audience to see. Now, obviously, there are probably some add-ons to that, but basically, we're, again, behind the eight ball on that. We're, you know, podcasting is just moving steps, way, leaps and bounds ahead of us. And, I'll say in New York, a whole bunch of us are going to be going to a podcasting conference in about 3 weeks. And we will definitely share that information with the rest of our colleagues, our brothers and sisters in the network. But, you know, we just have to get in on this. And in particular, since podcasting is especially favored by millennials and Generation Z types, it's something we just have to get on board with. So, I consider this a no-brainer.
Hey, Eric.
Okay, Eric, I'm going to put myself on the stack, but I'll wait till the end. Eric, go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to ask Jim, can we just use December for all of this instead? I mean, let's be uniform about this. We got June, July, August. Can we use December for everything you've got there for implementation?
What, on this one?
On everything you've got there.
The other one's already passed.
Oh, it has.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, you guys want to spend Christmas holidays doing this? I mean, that's y'all's business.
You're recommending December, Eric.
Yes, that's the short answer, yes. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, but you get more warm bodies in September.
I think September is a... Well, I'll wait till my turn. Does anyone else want to be on the stack?
Yeah, Ken to the stack.
Okay, Ken.
Could we please identify Fido's owner and have them mute when they're not speaking? That's what I do, and all I do is, drop things. I don't bark. So all the person has to do is mute their phone when they're not in conversation.
That's Rover. Fido is here, and he's out back.
Who has a dog?
I do, and you guys are both wrong.
You know how to mute the phone.
Anisha, do you know how to mute your phone?
Well, I'm borrowing a burner phone from a friend, so, yeah, I'm still learning how to hit which button.
Look at the phone.
Is it pound 6? Does anybody know how to mute on most phones? Is it an iPhone? What kind of phone is it?
It should be on settings.
I think she's muted.
Settings.
Well, the small burner phones are totally different, so I don't know.
Okay. All right. We're going to have to move on.
Let the dog go out for a walk. I did want to make a statement here. Point of information. Could the maker of the motion precisely define the difference between a podcast and a program that's on archive and can be downloaded?
Well, that's an interesting question. Something that's on the archives that can be downloaded is, I guess, to some extent, a podcast. There's no doubt about it. But a podcast itself, again, the reason why we set up an independent podcasting channel to develop new content is right now we have very few ways at any station to bring in new content. And, you know, if we're allowing people, we're creating a situation where people are trained to do radio production, audio production, et cetera. You know, we need vehicles for new content to be aired, and we already have passed in this committee a audio streaming channel resolution about a meeting or two ago. So, but that's a good question, Ken. I mean, that, you know, what's the difference between the two? That's a good question. And in some ways, there's no difference. But a podcast is something, a podcast is aimed more precisely at mobile devices. I mean, that's who tends to carry them. Now, obviously, we can carry them on, the stuff we have on the websites can be done that way, but it's more rigid the way our websites are designed. We're not aiming towards mobile audiences, mobile iPhone, iPad audiences directly, which is usually what a podcast company does. So, but, you know, we'll find out more. As we understand this better, we'll share this with each other.
This is Catherine.
I just have a follow-up point of information. It sounds to me like what you're trying to do is create more space for people to put product on. You're not asking for the programmers to re-edit their material and generate material. You're talking about space for new programmers, new creative, new producers. That's what it sounds like.
I have a point of clarification, if I might.
Let me just clarify one thing, and then I'll bring you in. My understanding of a podcast is that it is subscribable. So when you sign up for a podcast, you're going to get that show or a notification of that show according to the schedule of its broadcast. So it would be beneficial for both the existing producers as well as any new producers. Podcast primarily is tied to identification, schedules, and downloading. Eric?
No, I was just going to say something may have changed, but everything on archives is not downloadable. I know a lot of the music programming is not, but the news and information, the public affairs stuff, just about all of that is podcast. I can't speak for all the stations, but someone mentioned archives. I forgot who it was. Yeah, everything on archives, is not podcast. And
Steve Private just checked.
Everything, yeah. That's true. We're not able to do it because of the music. Who is that?
Steve Price's tech.
Okay, Steve, go ahead.
Because of my other show that we do a podcast on iTunes and Sketchbook and all that stuff, but we remove the music because we don't have the ASCAP license that the radio station has to broadcast on the Internet.
Okay. Jim to the stack.
Okay, it's 10:30, Madam Chair.
Okay.
Jim to the stack.
Jim, go ahead.
All right, I'm going to read a definition of what a podcast is. This is one definition. A podcast is an episodic series of digital audio or video files which a user can download in order to listen to it. It's often available for subscription. So the new episodes are automatically downloaded via web syndication to the user's own local computer, mobile application, or portable media player. Now, that last three comments is something very important, because when we're doing analog radio, we're not necessarily targeting local computers, mobile applications, or portable media players, even though, of course, we can do that. But it's not our target. The reason why that's important for us to aim as a target is that polling shows that it, particularly with younger people, generation, millennials and Generation Z audiences, that's their preferred method of listening. Now, just to give you an example of WBAI, one of the most popular podcasts, I think it was the number one podcast, period, the podcast that American Life did, the serial podcast, the podcast on a murder, or, you know, sort of a real crime. That was done by Ira Glass. And Ira Glass, just for your information, like many successful people in the media, came through a Pacifica station. He was at WBAI for a short period of time as a news part of our news department. So part of it is that if we're trying to work with the podcasting community, we're going to be working with younger people who don't necessarily need us, but who we can appeal to because we can perhaps, if they do something that really knocks the socks off of people, it can be put on the analog. It can be put on analog radio. But at the same time, we broaden our audience, and we also create shows that exist within the current schedule, the current group of producers. They might do a podcast series. But they might do, let's say, a series on the wall, you know, taking apart Trump's ridiculous immigration policy or something like that. But at the same time, we open the station up to new talent, which is essential for each station to function. And the issue of ASCAP and BMI is a very interesting question. I don't know the answer to that. I'd like to know more about that. And just a shout out to you guys at WPFW. I was listening to your music shows over the weekend. You got great music shows, man.
About 70% of our revenue comes in on the weekend, I think. Music programming.
You got great shows.
Okay. Cool. So thank you for that detail, Jim. Anyone else for the stack? Okay, I'll make my comment. I'm not directly tied to it, but
Catherine, I would like to. I'm sorry, I'd like to speak after you.
Okay, Benito and Grace. But let me just say that if we're going to develop a separate channel, this is definitely going to require a financial component to be able to execute. Otherwise, thinking in terms of websites and bandwidth and technology, it's not going to happen without financial support. I also don't see why it needs to be a separate channel for new material, because the way podcasting works, it's sort of like a grid. You just have the stuff and people can choose. But to develop a separate technology, to me, would undermine the benefit of cross-pollinating and cross-promoting listeners. I think it's an important motion because raising money through the internet is very viable. And ultimately, if we had a viable network, podcast network, it could support all of the five stations. We could be raising, broadening the listenership and raising millions of dollars. Other people are doing it right now. So it would be a good financial return if we did that. So those are my comments. Benito, you're next. And then Grace.
Yeah, I like the idea of the podcast for the reasons that Jim gave, that we need to find ways to appeal to the millennials, and this is what they do. So it makes sense that we would want to find a way how to do that. But my concern with, and it's not particular about this motion, I said it, about the hybridization motion, and I can repeat the same thing for a lot or most of these motions is that I just question the ability of management at the five stations, and I can only speak about PFW, but I just really doubt that PFW, for instance, has capacity to do any of this. We can pass all the motions we want to pass, you know, but that's my only concern is it feasible, even though it's a great idea, just like the hybridization was a great idea. That's it.
Okay, Grace.
Okay, it's obviously will take financial investment and the investment of staff time and effort to implement this. Therefore, it should not be considered until a plan for how it's going to be paid for, how much it's going to cost, how much staff time it will take to implement is figured out. I don't think that something like this should be considered a policy because it could be disruptive of the station's ongoing activities. I agree that it absolutely would be beneficial for the future if it could be implemented in a reasonable fashion. This type of project should be done on a pilot basis at one station. And then if it works smoothly and all the kinks are gotten out of it and it's not overly expensive, then it can be exported to the other stations. I don't think that it should be implemented across the whole foundation. And it shouldn't even be considered until a budget for it is figured out. Like, how much is this all going to cost? How much staff time is it going to take? This research is needed. And in the past, any kind of motion like this would have to become budget item with an exact breakdown of how much it will cost. So there has to be a podcasting service figured out, you know, and several possibilities and how much each one of them would cost on a monthly basis, on a yearly basis, et cetera, et cetera. This is not a complete motion. It needs more work before it should be considered.
All right. Jim Tisdak?
Okay, Jim.
All right. There's a German word called Auftragstaktik, which is
that's
basically
a long word.
It basically means a mission statement. It means you're given a mission statement and you implement it, and you're given the freedom to implement it. Now, the podcasting issue, Grace raises some very good points about the problems of this. I agree. These are some of the issues that we have to think about. And this is why we have to work as a network together. Because I know in New York, we've been researching who to go talk to, who to see, etc. And we're about ready to go and actually experience in podcast conferences with people doing stuff, what's going on. So we can share that with everybody else. But part of it is that I think we can start to implement these things and keep in mind the very sound points that Grace makes. Because I agree, we may encounter precisely those kind of roadblocks that she's talking about, and we'll have to go to other plans and be flexible about it. But we've got the ability right now to bring five Pacifica staff locally here in New York to a major podcast conference in 3 weeks. And we can certainly, and the objective is to learn from these people, and we want to share that with everybody else. So I just think that it's much too exciting what's going on with what they're doing. And also, we should think about the CPB. If we are able to get back money and get on the gravy train with CPB, they have financed in New York WNYC Radio with $10 to $15 million worth of backing to do podcasting. And I think that, you know, we might be in a position if we start to figure out how to get into this in a more sophisticated way to begin to get in on that money train. I'm not saying in big ways, but I'm certainly clear that we can do these kind of things. So I don't think we should be restricted to not try to export and, of course, deal with the practical issues that people raise about all the different things and problems. But it's, you know, we're being left behind. That freight train has been out the door now for about 10 years. It's accelerating, and we just got to jump on board.
Eric to the stack.
Eric, go ahead.
I want to say briefly, I'm taking heavily into account what Grace just said, and the financial component that's involved in getting the train out of the station, as Jim says. We don't, I'm not trying to speak for RGM here in Washington, but just as being on the call as a reference, that we don't have the financial wherewithal to move expeditiously with this. We don't have that kind of gas. So if it's a matter of the sooner the better, it's not going to be the better for us. You know, we're hanging on by our fingernails. We don't have the cash to do this.
All right, point of information. Point of information, Eric. The point of us moving out is to move together and help each other, to help you guys who don't have the resources. If we stumble across resources, we can help you guys out. That's the whole point, to work as a network together, you know, not just individually, but to work as a network together. That's my intent, frankly.
Okay, but we don't have a revenue-sharing component, though.
Yeah, but I'm talking about, you know, if we're able to hustle equipment or get equipment, we want, I mean, my idea would be to share that with those who don't have it. You guys sent up to us a transmitter that allowed us to save a lot of money. Okay? I think that's worthy of, you know, reciprocity, okay, on our end here in New York. If we come across something where we can help you guys out and help Houston out and help L.A. out and help Berkeley out, that's to our advantage to work together to be stronger. So, you know, if you all don't have that and we stumble across something that we can actually benefit everybody else, that's my objective, frankly, to look for that kind of thing.
This is Grace for the stack again.
Tom through the stack.
Okay, Grace and Tom.
Why don't you let Tom go first since I've talked a lot and he hasn't.
Okay, Tom.
Well, my thought about this is we could really do it for the cost of hiring Otis a talented assistant. But I wouldn't want to put, you know, put a project like this on Otis with all of his existing responsibilities.
Hello.
Okay, Grace.
Yes. I agree with Tom. There may be a way to have a podcasting element on the audio port, because there already are podcasters transmitting their podcasts on audio port, and it may be possible to do it through audio port and then have the stations link to a certain part of the audio port customized for the station. However, there would be a cost involved, and I have to say that KPFK and KPFA and probably KPFG, all of our stations, our buildings are mortgaged, and we're mortgaged to cover the shortfalls of what's seen by some as belonging to WBAI. Now, I don't think that WBAI is completely responsible for the debt to the Empire State Building, but some people in the network do see that and are not sympathetic toward unfunded mandates being proposed by a station that can barely pay its central services. And with the concept that the larger stations with more income, should be footing the bill for these projects, We need to be professional about this and cost it out. How much would a podcasting service cost, or how much would we need to pay Otis extra to do this and to plan this out? I think we need to request that the executive director, with any staff support, with the IT people in Pacifica, give us a report on how this could be done, how much it will cost, how much staff input it will take, and the feasibility of it. We do have, this is a management, this should not be designed completely by this committee or by the national board. That we need input from the national office. It has to be understood. I think it has to be understood that I think that WPFW, KPFT, and WBAI need financial support and need to be supported by the whole network. However, it needs to be done carefully. And from what I have heard, WBAI put a considerable amount of money into some sort of social media project or some sort of effort. An outside firm was hired to do that, and it was somewhat expensive, and it didn't bring any positive results whatsoever. So unless this is thought through more carefully, I can't say that I'm for it. It's an unfunded mandate, basically.
Jim, can stack.
All right. So I have this, Jim, I would like to respond just, before you do, if you don't mind. I just wanted to recommend a change in our directive. So instead of a plan for implementation, I have implementation can be developed experimentally by local stations, and a plan for full development should be submitted by December 2019. Perhaps by Pacifica Management, by the ED and Pacifica Management team.
I would second that, or we don't need a second, but I agree with that.
Okay, so Jim, so that's just a suggestion. We'll decide if we want to use that.
I agree with that, too.
Okay,
I just
want
to answer what Grace had to say about the social media thing. I can certainly send you that study. It was essentially, it shows me why we should get the Nielsen ratings, because basically it was sort of something that I could have discussed with you in a bar, and I could have discussed the problems that I thought existed at BAI, except I didn't get $50,000 for that. So, that's very different than what I'm talking about, because they basically came out with a one or two page or a three page statement, which basically, to those of us familiar with WBAI, is no brainer about how, from their point of view, how messed up it was. And then they were trying to develop a social media strategy to, enhance that. I felt that was ridiculous because it was a waste of $50,000. We already knew what the problem was. We had to figure out how to boost the audience and do that through content. And so it's not a big cost, expenditure to maybe say, okay, you got 100 producers at a station. Do you guys have any ideas about a series that you might like to work on? That would be 5 or 6 episodes, well-produced radio. We certainly have the skill sets in each of these stations, and maybe you guys can suggest a couple of different things that we can do. And you've got a lot of talent at each station. They can do it any way they want. But, we could do public affairs kind of coverage like that we used to do. Pacifica always, this is in the tradition of the broadcasting of Pacifica historically, to do stuff like this. And that's not a big cost factor right there. I agree that we need to understand better the cost components of doing these things. But to say that we can't do it now, I don't agree with. We have the talent locally to do things like this in each station. Some stations more than other stations. Not every station has to do it. Okay? We don't have to ask people. If people in Washington feel they can't do it, fine, cool, you know. But we can certainly start to do it, and we can start to do it tomorrow, frankly, with all sorts of there's tons of ammunition that we have to deal with and look at public affairs issues, particularly with the Trump administration, in a sophisticated way. And, you know, I have no doubt that we have the capacity to do that. I have no doubt that we can do it at a very low cost right now kind of issue, and I know it can be done. And then we can figure out, I think it's totally reasonable, the things you raise about the wider questions, but I think we want to get a creative process going, and that I think is very important to get implemented. A creative process that's positive, that asks to do new and creative things. And I'm not being idealistic about it. I know how the producers are. They respond to stuff like that.
Okay, so...
Ten to the stack. Ten to the stack.
Okay, we're close to the...
We have 8 minutes.
We have to vote 8 minutes. So I heard Benito and Ken, so please try to keep it brief.
Yeah, could you just repeat the... Or Grace, repeat the amendment.
Oh, yeah. Well, I actually was going to get back on the stack because I amended my amendment, but I'll read it as I have. Implementation can be developed experimentally by local stations, and a plan for full development, and this is what I've added to the addition, including financing and potential budget needs, is to be submitted by December 2019 by the ED and Pacifica management team.
So plan for implementation to be submitted by the ED by December. Is that correct?
A plan, yeah, by December 2019.
Okay.
Okay. Are there any objections to that change, to the change?
I have a comment.
Okay.
Go ahead. Did Ken have a comment?
Yeah, later on.
Yeah.
Ken, yes, right. I'm sorry.
With that change, I think we should strike all the requirements for mandatory reporting and quarterly and all of that stuff. Because right now it's just the motion is to investigate and come up with a plan, not to implement. So there's nothing to monitor if you're not implementing. The only thing you can monitor is that the ED or management comes up with a plan.
All right. I disagree.
We could say basis as to the progress in development of the plan.
Yeah.
That's right.
All right, Jim Tinstack.
Go ahead, Jim.
All right. This is again where I think that, you know, I'm gonna have to, you know, be a little bit of a broadcast imperialist. I'm familiar with how you produce radio, produce TV, having done that in the past. This is not something that is impossible to start immediately, all right? It can be done with, you know, let's get together. The program director calls a meeting and says, look, let's figure out some things we might want to do for podcasts now, and let's start experimenting, and let's start doing it. Allowing it to sort of be in abeyance till December with a policy, I think, defeats the whole purpose of starting these things now. You have too many people in each of the stations who get frustrated because of the way the schedules are, and they don't have the ability to work in teams or work on themes, and this allows them to work on themes and do thematic kind of shows. And I know many people at the station at New York who can do this, and we're not talking about something that drains resources. It does mean people spend time, but we might be spending time on things that can be put into motion that can have a good effect. So I really think that it's counterproductive to leave it up to the ED. We didn't have an ED who had anything knowledgeable to say about programming for quite a long time. Now we do. But in the gap of that period of time, We had lots of different people in all the different stations who had all sorts of ideas about programming. And, you know, all of a sudden we have an ED who has that experience, and we sort of are, you know, jousting with this person, yet that doesn't negate the fact that we have literally dozens of people in each station who have a lot of production experience. So I really think it shouldn't be
Jim, we're running out of time. If we're going to vote on this, we have to come to a resolution on this statement.
This is Grace. I have a suggestion.
What is it?
I think it's close to the time we should be ending this meeting. I'd like to do a little more research on this and postpone consideration of this motion until the next meeting. Let's have it be the first thing, because I don't think we're going to come to any kind of agreement, and we're not going to be happy with the result of this motion without at least rewording it and reconsidering it. So I think we should postpone it until the next meeting.
Do we have a next meeting?
We do.
When is the next meeting?
I think it's 2 weeks from now.
Okay. So is there any objection to postponing this to the next meeting? Okay, hearing none, this will be postponed to the next meeting.
Thank you, Grace, for your... I'm sorry, thank you, Catherine, for your stewardship tonight.
You're welcome.
Yes, thank you.
And thank you.
Yes,
thank you. So, thank you all. This meeting is adjourned. When did you say the next meeting was?
It's in 2 weeks, I believe. Let me...
Yes, Benita.
Could you state the date of the next meeting?
Hold on. Let me...
great. Thank you, too.
Hold on, man. Got to close this window. KPTSX. Hold on. Are you there?
Go ahead.
Okay, the next meeting is on February 19th.
February 19th.
Is that a Tuesday?
Right. Okay, so that's 2 weeks from today?
That's right, 2 weeks from today.
Okay.
Okay, thank you. We're adjourned, everybody. Thank you very much.
Good night. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you very much, Catherine.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Eric, are you still there?
Good night.
Good night.
Take
Eric, are you still there?
I am.
Eric?
Yes.
You guys have great music shows.